4 o'clock special. Two words hit me today as we don't have any bulletins or anything. Just watch the announcements that will come emailed during the course of the week. And if you have any special prayer requests. If you have any special prayer requests, just email them in to the office and we'll make sure they get distributed. Two words that hit me today were glorious and glory. Glorious was a tremendous outpouring. The Puerto Rican festival that marched up and down the street, the amount of people that came out from the church to help, to set up, to pray, to laugh, to receive candy, to offer a cup of cold water in his name, was probably, I would guess, three times the number of people that are here today. And I told Pastor Mark, why don't we just have the service in the morning, because I got a hunch we're going to have more people this morning and this afternoon. Some of you here are doing a doubleheader. God bless you. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay, but get a good nap tonight. That was glorious, and just to connect with our community, which is something we're called to do anyway. And glory is the other word that hit me. We want to pray for Tony, the Donahue family, as Tony's father. Tony went to be with the Lord this morning. We also want to pray for the Nash family. Tawana's mother passed away in Indiana this morning as well. So please keep... Both are in glory, which, you know, in a sense, if we can be quick to rejoice, but the Bible says, grieve and mourn with one another. Okay? All right. So let's keep, be mindful of that and bless you, Tony and family, and let's keep them in prayer, and we'll keep you posted on what the arrangements are. If you're able to make it or send a card, make a phone call, do something. Any other special announcements today? Anybody have anything you want to just stand up and shout out? It's going to be a family-style service. Pastor Mark promised the sermon would be less than 20 minutes. So, anybody? We also have Ricky's here from Kenya, and this is his last full day here. He'll be heading to back home after about 6 weeks here doing camps and just reconnecting with folks that love him, that he loves. He's got four huge suitcases. The chances of getting this to Kenya might be a miracle, but we're going to pray for somebody just not to see what's going to happen. Okay? So anyway, pray for him. He's going to share a little bit today, and just remember our dear loved ones that are serving God all over the world and right here in our neighborhood. So let's bow together in prayer. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you for this day. We're a little tired now, and I pray that you'd give us divine energy, that it would not be about us, but be about you. I thank you for all the love that was distributed both ways, from the energy of the parade to us and from us to them as we served in very unique and special ways. And I think just had a good day, you would be smiling upon this morning and this afternoon. Do pray for the Donahue family and the Nash family as they share the glorious with the glory. And we are grateful for glory. We're grateful for heaven. But we also mourn with those who mourn, as we also rejoice with those who rejoice, and there will be rejoicing. Fill us with your spirit even now. Help Ricky's time to be special as he shares with us. Thank you for our praise team. Give them special energy from above. And we honor you and thank you for this day and for who you are. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may stand.
Good afternoon.
I was not here this morning. Parades aren't really my
You're in the house, yes.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things still to be done here. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here.
Sing that again.
Greater things have yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things still to be done here.
Amen. So Raquel's going to lead us in this next song, and she's going to sing part of it in Spanish. And I shouldn't say she's going to sing part of it in Spanish. I should have said we are going to sing part of it in Spanish. All right, so if you don't speak Spanish at all, or it's kind of rusty or whatever, I encourage you really try to just stick with it. No judgment. Just do your best. All right? There's a lot of theology and reasons why we sing songs in other languages. It has to do with God's view of diversity and hospitality to people and enabling each other to sing praise in our heart language, our first language, for someone whose first language isn't English. I don't have time to go into a lot of that. So what I'll say is, if you have no other reason to sing in Spanish, just do it for practice for the future. And if you're like, what are you talking about? In Revelation 7:9, John says, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count. He's describing this like huge cosmic worship service, effectively. Okay, this multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, and, anyone know this verse? What does it say next? Tribes, peoples, and tongues, languages. Now, how does he know that? How does he know that they speak different languages? Because they're speaking different languages. You got that? In heaven, we're going to be singing in all the languages that have ever been and ever will be before Jesus comes back. So, let's get some practice in. Okay? Here we go.
Lost are saved and find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus,
worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man. Up, and all the world will praise your great name.
Los perdidos salvos son al sonar de tu nombre. Los condenados libres son al sonar de tu nombre. Todo temor no tiene lugar al sonar de tu nombre. Y el enemigo tiene que al sonar de tu nombre,
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise Jesus. Exaltado eres tú,
el mundo adora tu gran nombre. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, defender, my Savior, you are my King, Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you are Redeemer.
Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you are my King.
Again.
Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you are my King.
Jesús, Jesús, digno es el Cordero inmolado. Hijo de Dios, exaltado eres tú, el mundo adora.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Your great name.
lift you up. Your name is so great. Your name is mighty. We can't wait till the day, Lord, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. We can't wait till the day that we get to hear every tongue that's ever been created to praise you. Such a joy and such an excitement it'll be. And to those that are already experiencing it, Father God, maybe we live our lives here to be able to have that same experience and opportunity one day. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you are doing in this city. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you did today, for the lives that were touched, for the lives that got to see your love. May we continue to do your work by loving you first with all our heart, soul, and mind, and loving all your people. Love God, love people. Let that always be our mission. We thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so, Ricky, for those who don't know, Ricky is one of our trainers we support in Kenya. And we started supporting you 3-4 years ago, something like that. And he comes in with ambassador soccer, but he does far more than ambassador soccer. So I'm going to hand the microphone over. And Ricky, tell us a little bit about your history, your testimony, how you came to know the Lord, and what he's done with you in Kenya. Then maybe a little. Maybe share with us a little bit about how we can be praying for you. Perfect.
All right. Hi, everyone. Yeah, my name is Ricky, and I'm so just grateful to be here, and also just, humbled to be part of what God is doing in Scranton this month, and also today was very special. I've never been in a parade like that. But even more special was the opportunity just to speak to someone about the Lord and about his love. And that was something that has really blessed me today. And it seems like there was a competition for who will be the loudest. So I am very grateful for that. So several years ago, as a young man, I was in a total... I don't want to say total mess, it's more than that, but just coming from a place where there is a lot of just challenges. It's normal for men and young men to get involved in alcohol and all drugs and just being in a totally and just wrong groups, and you find yourself on the extreme end of things. So by the time I was even turning 22, when my peers were finishing college, I was just there looking for direction still. And a change happened when I loved football, so change little steps. Jesus started making little steps when the coach will finish and share a word of God, and that's when I started now to draw towards him. I never got saved then, but months later, I made my confession in the presence of many witnesses to accept Jesus and to start this and to just start this journey. And that was a very tough decision, because in the midst of just being on the other side of the world, more like here, young men love to be in groups and love to do all those sort of things, and being alone. And I come from a family that has a lot of traditional practices, so be it traditions mixed with witchcraft and that sort of thing, it made me a black sheep in my family. So no one wanted anything to do with me for a season because I was a Christian now. And so that began another phase in my salvation journey. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus uses such things to strengthen us, to shape us, and to make us ready for what he has for us. So through that season, it was very hard. Through that season, it was not easy to, when your mother has, rejected you, it's the one person you want them to love you, But through that season, God used that to just turn my heart towards them. I prayed for them for many years. And thank God, 2 years ago, actually COVID plus one, I think 2021, she came to the Lord. And she, amen, thank you. Yeah, and she got to accept Jesus, and together with my sister. And I think one of the interesting things is that you can do so much in the ministry out there, but if in your own house, people are not following the Lord, we can all agree that there's a big peace that still disturbs one, that still disturbs one. You can see 100 people get saved on a day, but when when you go back home and you look at your family, it's totally, it can be very discouraging, but thanks be to God. So that's how I came to the faith, and it's been a very, sometimes I connect more with Moses and Abraham, long, tough journey, but God has been very faithful. And so I will talk of what is happening currently. So by God's grace, right now, I'm reaching young people through education. So because of just the extreme levels of poverty in Kenya, in certain communities in Kenya, children have not been going to school. So you find that children can be out of school because of $5, $10. And by God's grace, God has brought such young men and women on my way to step into that path, to be like their father and to take full ownership. Just like here, sometimes you find very broken homes. So most of these young men and women come from very broken families. So by God's grace, I get to step in and get to pull them out and get them in school, and also begin a mentorship and a discipleship process with them, which is very humbling. Yeah, and also sometime, it was actually this year, I went for a school visit, and other kids were telling this stubborn kids that, hey, your dad is here. So it was just so humbling to just be around them and just to see them back in school. You know, it's one thing to see a kid on the streets. It's another thing to see them in school learning and just their destiny changing. So that's something I really give God thanks for. And Scranton Church has played such a big role in what's happening in Kenya by just prayer, support, and I'll say the other bit is sometimes you don't know, but a little here does a lot on the other side of the world. And so that's something that I'm very grateful for. In terms of education, we are at 32 kids right now who are in school and not in the streets, from 8 years to 16 years. And I really thank the Lord for that. He just started with a small step of faith and a small step of obedience to pull one out and to get them into school, and God has just been expanding my faith and getting me on my knees a lot, and also expanding what we are doing. In terms of that's the education wing, and in terms of sports, next month, at a time like in about 2 weeks' time, actually, we are in August. In about 12 days' time, will be what happened here in the camp. It will be happening in a village in Kenya, in the Kenyan village, deep in the village, about 8 hours from the capital. So know that what happened here is what I'm going just to replicate in a village down there. And we're looking to have about 200 young children and just boys and girls come out. So I'm very grateful for that, for what God is doing in this season. So that's in terms of the sports. And the other aspect is this year has been very different. It's been what I call like a transitional year. God has really opened doors for me to start training others on the work of the ministry, be it children's workers, coaches, and that has been a lot of demand. Yeah, that has been a lot of there's just been a lot of demand on faith, capacity, and God has also been gracious for that. Yeah.
So you just did however many weeks of soccer camp here, and you're going back to Kenya to take a little break and do an even bigger soccer camp, right?
Yeah.
So are you ever going to rest?
Thank you. I think I've been eating a lot of ice cream and a lot of pizzas out here.
Speaking of which, we have ice cream after this tonight.
Okay.
In the gym, so.
So, talking about, yes, thank you for that. And this is a season that I'm also praying, and also it's been a time of growing the people that I'm working with. So as I'm here, there are a couple of people who are also working and getting to prepare for that. So my role is becoming more providing the vision and supporting the work, which has been very good. But I'm hopefully planning to rest in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ricky sends out these emails of updates of things that are going on pretty regularly, and they're always very humbling because there's so much going on. Whenever PJ and I read those, I always feel like we're not doing enough here. And so, but they're really good, and they're really good updates. So if anybody that's here would love to see updates that Ricky sends out pretty regularly, you can sign up your email address on a sheet of paper on the information table out there. If that paper's not there or you miss it, you can just send me an email and I'll connect you to Ricky so that you can start getting those updates. It'll tell you what you can be praying for him. It connects you a little bit to what's going on the ground. And he always sends pictures of things. And so they're always really, really fun to look at and to hear about what's going on. And you have a really big camp that you're going back to. So we'll be praying for that. We're also going to be praying that you get some rest after that camp. You plan on a little bit of vacation or a little bit of time off after that. And anything else that we can be praying for? You're changing roles a little bit, and then anything else that we can be praying for you?
Yeah, one of the other things that you can be praying for, Kenya right now is undergoing a lot of instability in terms of there has been a lot of protests the past month. Mm-hmm. So just pray for stability in Kenya because, we know without stability and peace, a lot of things cannot happen. So that has been on the other side, yeah.
And if you have any questions for Ricky, he'll be here after the service. Like I said, there's going to be ice cream in the gym. There'll be a little ice cream bar. If you brought food to eat, you can eat your dinner, but also there's ice cream if you just want to eat that for your dinner. If you're a kid, you should have closed your ears and not heard what I just said. So there's parents looking at me very mad right now, so sorry. And you can just connect with Ricky and ask any questions you have afterwards because he'll be here. So let's pray with you, and then we'll have the offering come forward. Lord, we thank you so much for Ricky. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for what you're doing through him here in the camp this week, this last week that we had here, and all the other camps that have happened here in Ohio, but also for what he goes back to. I pray that you would give him strength and energy, help him to have a very easy flight back home, and just give him strength to make it through another week. And then when he has time off, give him rest. Lord, I pray that you would give him wisdom and the discernment that he needs in changing roles, Lord. I pray that you would help him to just see where you're at work and that he'll just work to equip others and that he'll be able to do the things that he's called to do where he's at. And Lord, I just pray that you would just constantly be at work in the people in Kenya, Lord. I pray for stability there in terms of the government and the protests. I pray that the things that people are protesting for, Lord, that there would be justice and that you would just bring the change that people need or that are good change, Lord. And I pray that you would just protect and help those to be more peaceful than not. I know there's so many places in this world that are suffering right now, Lord. And I just pray that you would just bless Kenya in a special way and Ricky and his ministry there too. Lord, we thank you. We rely on you for everything that we have and everything that you give and do in our lives, Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. And I pray that you would just bless Ricky and the remaining of our time of our worship tonight. I pray that you would take what we give and just multiply it thousandfold, that there are impacts that we don't even see, whether it be through Ricky or the other missionaries that we support here, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless other people through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Hey, so if you were having trouble hearing the guitar earlier, I don't want you to blame Ken. That was 100% my fault. See, I have this mute switch up here so that my guitar doesn't make noise when it's not supposed to. And I forgot to turn it off. It only took me 2 songs to figure out, so.
I stand when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Oh, he's never let me down. He's faithful. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail.
When you change the time for your worship service, apparently, you don't realize how many things are kind of automated. And we have bulletins. We just didn't even think to put those out. And sound is, you know, we forget to do a lot of things. So that's why we call this family-style worship, because it's a little awkward, like sometimes it is being around family. So we wanted to recreate that for all of you guys tonight. We do have bulletins. Make sure you grab one before you go. We'll put them out downstairs as you're on your way out, because there are like a lot of dates that I put in the bulletin this week that are future dates that are important for us to know. The most important one that's coming up very soon is next Sunday after the service, we'll have a K group leaders meeting. So if you are leading a K group or hosting a K group, or you're thinking about leading a K group or hosting a K group, or just maybe interested in knowing how to do that or what you need to do, that's the meeting you should come to. It's after the worship service next week at 12:45. We'll provide lunch. If you can't make it, I know it's short notice. If you can't make it, that's okay. Let me know, and we'll figure out another way to get you the information that you'll need for that. And then in the bulletin, written down is a ton more dates, and we'll send that out in an email as well, but it's there. And then also, there is ice cream after this, so that we can fill Ricky up with a bunch of frozen dairy before he goes back to Kenya. He was talking about how much ice cream he's eaten since he's been here during the course of the soccer camp week. So we wanted to give him some more before he left, and we have a lot left. We're continuing in our sermon series through the Gospel of Mark. And you can turn to the Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. This is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. You can follow along. I think it's going to be up on the screen. Yep, good. And I would say follow along in your bulletin, but it's not there, so you can't. So either your Bible or on the screen. This is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders to not let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the chance we have to be here tonight to worship you, to hear your word, to pray for our brother Ricky, to gather together as a family, just to hear about you. I pray that we would have the same kind of faith and trust in you that these two people, these families have in our story tonight. Sink your words deep in our hearts, the truth of who you are deep in our hearts. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to tell another a horse story tonight, because I grew up with horses as a kid, and from the earliest age, I don't remember a time when we didn't have horses when I was a kid. In fact, my parents would take us horseback riding before I could even ride a horse by myself, and I would ride with my dad often in the front of him. That's me, little Mark Pratt, with my dad, big Mark Pratt, and we would go riding all the time. I asked my mom to send me these pictures that I knew she had, and so we would ride from the earliest ages, horses, all over the place. And we would often go in big groups of like 20 or more up into the mountains, and we'd ride our horses through the mountains, and you can see some of the beauty of what we got to ride through. There's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres with nothing around, just mountains and us riding horses. And you see, I'm in the very back of that one line of horses, and there's if you know what an Appaloosa is, I'm on my Appaloosa horse in the other picture. But you can see how awesome this would be as a kid, right? Like, I grew up watching Westerns, and so I would wear my little cowboy hat and my little cowboy boots, and I had my little pistol, plastic pistol, and my little plastic pistol belt, and I could pretend that I was a cowboy hunting down wily desperados in the farthest reaches of the West. It was awesome. And often, I would get my parents hand-me-down horses, which was okay because I liked the horses. But my parents would get a horse fresh, young, just fast and strong and fiery, and then they would have it for years, and then they would pass it down to me or my sister, and we would get them, and they were a little older, a little fatter, not quite as vibrant or passionate. And so in my mind, I would always imagine being this cowboy hunting down the desperados, and I like to think that my horse was just imagining that it was just grazing through a big patch of clover or something like that. And so we would go out riding, me imagining that I was hunting down desperados, my horse just barely walking, and it was always a lot of fun. But there was one time when we were riding horses, and two of the teenagers in our group decided they wanted to see who was the fastest. And so these two teenagers got at the back of the line of our horses. We would ride single file along a trail. And on this trail, when it cleared out, they decided that they were going to race to see who was the fastest horse rider. Which, as like an 8 or 9 year old, I was like, you know, the teenagers were like my heroes. So I was like, I can't wait to see who's the fastest. I was riding at the front of the line. They were at the back of the line. I was turned in my saddle to see the whole race. Somebody said, ready, set, go, and they took off. And they, like lightning, and they were racing up the line, and they, whew, right past my horse. And suddenly my horse remembered that he used to be a racehorse, and he decided that he wanted to join the race too. And like a shot out of a pistol, he took off. And I was not expecting it. I rolled back, and I just reached out, and I grabbed a leather strap that kept me from falling off the side of the horse. And my horse is running, galloping, broom, 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 and I'm like flapping in the wind like a flag, trying to hold on to this little leather strap so I don't fall off. And my horse is running. My dad sees it happen, and he decides to come after me. And so he runs after the horse. I don't know what was going on through my horse's mind, but I think it's something like this. He looked back, saw my dad coming, and he said, oh, he wants to race too. And so my horse sped up. And this old horse beat my dad's horse, passed the two teenagers on their horse. I'm screaming, flapping in the wind, holding on to this piece of leather, hoping that I don't fall. And up ahead, I see a tree that has fallen over the path. And I think, great, my horse will have to stop. And right when I think that, he speeds up a little bit. And I think, what is he doing? And he speeds up even more. And I look at the tree getting closer, and my horse getting faster. And I look at the tree getting closer. And I'm like screaming. I just close my eyes because I'm like, I just can't see. I don't want to see my death. And as I close my eyes, I feel like this sense of weightlessness. And I open my eyes, and we are soaring through the air over this tree. And we land, and I'm holding on, and I almost fall off, but I stay on. And finally, my horse stops. And everybody catches up to us. And I am so glad that I'm alive. And I'm so glad for this little piece of leather strap that I was able to grab and hold on to, because it saved my life. And I trusted that strap would hold on. I didn't have any other choice. It was the first thing I grabbed, but I trusted and I had faith that that thing was not going to break, and it didn't, and it saved my life. Plus, I won the race too, and so I got to brag about that a little bit later. That strap saved my life that day, and I am so thankful for it. That little piece of leather never broke. It kept me from falling as I held on for dear life. In our story in the Bible this evening, in the New Testament, Jesus is in the middle of this big crowd of people. He's standing, all these people are coming to hear him, and they're all standing around, and they're pressing in on him. And there's this woman who has no hope whatsoever. We're told that she has suffered for 12 years. She has suffered for 12 years. She has spent all of her money. She's gone to see all the medical specialists, the generalists, all the people who could help her. She went to see, and not a single one of them has been able to help her. And she's paid them, and now she has no money. She has no hope. And in the midst of this crowd, she just knows that if she can just touch Jesus, she'll be healed. And she touches him, and Mark tells us immediately she was healed. And she felt within herself that all the things that were wrong, whatever that was, all those things were knit back together, and everything, all the pain, all the suffering that she'd gone through was gone. And as Jesus is walking, he feels the power leave him. He feels that something has happened. And he turns around to see what happened. And this woman, she comes to him because she is scared. She's scared because in those days, if you were bleeding, Leviticus tells us if you were bleeding, you were unclean. And she's so scared because she's been unclean for 12 years. Imagine that, 12 years. She's not been able to do all the things of normal life, to interact with people without worrying that they're going to be unclean, without being able to go to the temple and do the things that they do in the temple because she's worried that she's unclean. And she's touched this teacher, this holy man, and she's scared that when Jesus turns around that he's going to punish her, to discipline her. And so she comes to him trembling, and she falls at his feet. She's scared. And she tells him everything. And then she waits for the blow of judgment to fall. She waits for Jesus to rebuke her or to yell at her or to fuss at her or to do all the things probably people had done to her. Trembling, she waits. And Jesus says, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. He had mercy on her. He didn't fuss at her. He didn't discipline her. He didn't do any of the things that she expected. He didn't say, how dare you touch me? Jesus calls her daughter. He says, your trust in me, your faith. Trust that I would help. And that worked. Jesus wants that from all of us. No matter who you are, where you've been, Jesus wants you to trust him. He welcomes your trust. He welcomes your touch. He will never turn away. The Bible says he'll never leave you, never forsake you. He will never turn away. We often will turn away, but he won't. But while this woman had been talking to Jesus, if you remember at the very beginning, a man named Jairus, a synagogue ruler, had come up to Jesus and asked him, hey, will you please come and heal my daughter who is very sick? And Jesus had turned to go with her, and this whole incident had interrupted that. And while Jesus is talking to her, some people come up to Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they say, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's died. We don't need him anymore. And Jesus, as he's talking to her, overhears that. And he turns and he says, don't be afraid, just believe. How could Jesus say that? Don't be afraid, just believe. Nothing has changed for Jesus. A lot of things have changed for Jairus and the family, but nothing has changed for Jesus. I know in that moment that everything feels like it has changed. It seems like the girl is dead and she's going to stay dead. It seems like there's no hope. It seems like for what they've come for is gone now. There's no getting that back. What Jesus could do has passed. The worst of their fears has come true. Their child of these parents, their child has died. In that moment, there is pain and sorrow. Some of the worst imaginable. Don't bother Jesus anymore. But Jesus wants to be bothered. He wants them to come to him and to continue to trust him. and to believe in him. What stands in the way of belief? Fear. Jairus knew that Jesus could heal his sick little girl, but now that she's dead, he fears that all hope is lost. But it's often in the deepest, the darkest moments of our lives, when there's no hope and when there's no light, that we need Jesus the most. It's in those moments and those times when we feel abandoned, when we experience pain, when we're tired and hurting, that Jesus asks us to turn to him. And that's hard. Even when we don't feel like there's any hope, he asks us to keep trusting him. You see, he sees the world different than us. We see the world one way. He sees it a completely different way. What we see is limited by our experience. Paul in the New Testament says we see darkly as if through a glass or a mirror. We don't understand fully everything. What's this? It's a paper bag, right? A dingy paper bag made out of paper. Probably not worth much. But inside is some really valuable things. A box full of chocolate. A group of pretty flowers that fell apart just now when I pulled them out of the bag. A group of pretty flowers. When you solve this bag, at first, all you see is the paper, the dinginess. But inside is some really awesome stuff. I really like chocolate, so it's pretty awesome. And flowers, I just thought they were pretty, so I grabbed them outside of our church building. But in that bag were pretty flowers and awesome chocolate. I knew what was in there. You just saw the bag. Jesus knows something beautiful that we cannot see. He knows what's basically in the bag of the world. He knows what's in the bag of creation. He knows it's there, and he knows what's waiting. And he asks us to trust him, to believe in him. He takes Peter and James and John, and he goes to the house of Jairus, and he says, "Why all the commotion? Why the wailing and the crying? The child is not dead, but asleep." And the people all laugh at Jesus. They don't see what Jesus sees. Jesus makes them all leave. And he takes the parents, the three, and he goes into the girl, and he takes her hand, and he says, "Little girl, Talitha kum, get up, rise up." And immediately she gets up and begins to walk around, and it's like nothing ever happened. He says, "Go feed her so she can eat." It's like as if nothing has ever happened. The parents have gone through some stuff, yes, but Jesus has undone that stuff. Jesus knows that their story doesn't end in death, that she will find life. He knows that he will give the mother and the father their little girl back, their daughter back, and he just asks them to trust him. There's another place in the Bible where this same kind of thing happens. A guy named Lazarus, he gets really sick, and his sisters who really love him, they send for Jesus. They say, "Hey, our brother's sick. Please come and heal our brother." And it takes him a little while to get there. And while he's on his way, Lazarus, the brother, dies. And when Jesus gets there, one of the sisters comes to Jesus and she says, "If you would just have been here, I know you could have healed him. I know that there would be a different outcome." And Jesus, in that passage in John chapter 11, says this. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then just to prove that point, the same as what he does with this little girl, Jesus raises him from the dead. Death isn't the end. Jesus knows that all who believe in him will rise for eternity. But that's not the end of the story. We're all going to go through bad things and hard things. We will face the death of loved ones. Some of you guys are feeling that right now. We will face pain and sorrow, every single one of us. Sometimes life will feel like we are riding a horse, just trying to hold on to one little piece of leather and hoping that we don't fall off. Sometimes we'll see life as an ugly paper sack that life throws at us. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. Trust me. Trust me, I will hold you and I can give you something beautiful beyond what you see right now. Believe. Trust in the one who is trustworthy, who will never fail you, ever. Who can see better and who will one day show us all that we've missed. At the end of Jesus' life, he's arrested. He's tortured. He's executed in a horrible manner, put on a cross to die. And everyone around him thinks that all hope is lost. They all think it ends there. And Jesus does die on the cross. He's taken down, he's buried, he's put in a grave. And it's in that deep darkness of grief that Jesus shows us the hope he gives us. Because the grave, death, it doesn't win. It's not the end of the story. Jesus doesn't stay in the grave. He's resurrected to life. And he shows us a glimpse of our future. When we trust in Jesus, he gives us that same future. That no matter what we go through, he's faced worst things. He's faced the worst thing, death. And he's defeated it. He knows that we will face hard times. He knows that we're going to go through it. It's what happens because there's sin in this world. But there's hope for a better future. And we have hope. We have that hope because Jesus faced sin and death on the cross and shows us that it doesn't have the final word. Jesus does. Sickness, pain, sorrow, and yes, even death. But it doesn't have the last word. Jesus does. And he says, don't be afraid, trust him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us a faith of this woman that comes to him to heal her. Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith of the parents that he calls to have the same kind of faith, that they would trust Jesus. And he shows them the truth of reality by raising her from the dead. I pray that you would give us that same faith, Lord, here today. That we would trust you through whether it's 12 years of sorrow and pain or the death of a loved one or whatever it is, that we would trust you. And that on the other side, Lord, you would show us how good it was that we placed our trust in you. Lord, I pray that for all of us here today. I pray that for us as we go from here, Lord, that we would trust you and believe in you. And it would change our world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us one more time as we close? Like Pastor Mark was saying, when we suffer, we don't always know why. And I think there's lots of different reasons why we suffer and why we face hardship and pain. But the thing that's the same is the response. No matter what the source of our suffering is, we know that we can go to Jesus, and that's where we're supposed to go. So as we close, we'll sing this song together and remind ourselves of that and remind each other.
Will I believe you when you say your hand will guide my every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment of every day? And I will walk by faith even when I cannot. not see, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Help me to rid my endless fears. You've been so faithful for all my years. With one breath you made me new. Your grace covers all I do. And I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Well, I'm broken, but I still see your face. You've spoken, pouring your words of grace. I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Because this broken road prepares your will for me.
God, thank you that death does not have the last word, that you do. And that when you died, you didn't stay in the grave, so that we know that we won't stay in the grave either. We pray that you would be with us as we go from here and enjoy some fellowship time together. Bring us back safely again next week. In your name I pray. Amen.